Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor. Luke tells us here that Jesus gives us a parable. Now a parable in Scripture is said to imperfectly represent a heavenly counterpart. It has also been said that parables describe the kingdom of God in action. And there are many well-known cases in Scripture where a parable is a story that is then telling us something about heavenly realities, something about the kingdom of God. So when we hear that Jesus is about to give us a parable, we expect to hear some kind of story. Perhaps we expect to hear about a good Samaritan or a farmer or tenants in a vineyard, something like that. We expect that he's going to give us some kind of earthly story with a heavenly counterpart, something about the kingdom of God. But instead, we seem to get advice here in our gospel reading on what to do at a wedding feast when it comes to deciding where to sit. And it's good advice, good table etiquette. Don't put yourself in a place of honor, in the high place. We might say, in our context, don't go and sit at the head table, because someone more distinguished, more honored, might have been invited. And then you'll have to move down to the lowest place. So Jesus tells us what to do instead. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Now that doesn't quite sound like an earthly story with a heavenly counterpart. Doesn't sound like what we should expect, or what we usually expect when we hear that we're going to hear a parable. Instead, it sounds like good advice for a wedding or other events, something you might find in Miss Manners. But this instruction teaches us far more than how to decide where to sit at a banquet or a reception. This instruction about mundane, earthly things tells us about Jesus and his kingdom. Jesus Christ is the one who took on the pain and suffering of a human body to be like us, suffering along with us, though he didn't deserve it. He deserved the first place, the highest place, the place of honor at the banquet feast of the Heavenly Father. He deserved exaltation, but he took last place with us sinners. This is called Jesus' state of humiliation. It started when he was made man. To be made one of us is to put himself in a low place. In fact, Scripture tells us in Philippians that Jesus emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. To take on our human nature was to empty himself. He didn't make use of all his divine powers while he was walking here on this earth when he took on human flesh before his death and resurrection. He humbled himself and lived like one of us, but without sin. This meant that he, as the God of the universe, submitted to his earthly parents. Human beings, people whom he created, he submitted to them, to the authority of Mary and Joseph. He also submitted to the high priest, who was opposed to him, who wanted to find some charge against him. He submitted to Pontius Pilate, who sent him to be crucified. As man, he also had the needs that we have. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He wept. He also experienced the temptations of Satan. But unlike us, he did not succumb to Satan's temptations. He also endured opposition and hatred from his own people. Look at all the times that the religious leaders tried to test him. Look at the time he was asked to leave a region when he performed a miracle, done a good thing, and yet they asked him to leave. Look at the fact that the people of his own hometown, the people he grew up with who knew him, were so enraged that they actually tried to throw him off of a cliff. Look at the times that the Jews tried to stone Jesus. Look at the group of people who rejected Jesus' message in John 6 and left him. And look at the fact that his own disciples, those closest to him, ran away from him when he was arrested. That he was even denied by Peter who had confessed him as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter does not even want to be associated with him when Jesus is on trial. And then, of course, look at the fact that he is actually betrayed by Judas. And if all of that were not humiliating enough, shameful enough, as though it looks like Jesus has completely failed, the soldiers mock the idea that he is a king by putting a crown of thorns on his head and a purple robe on him as they spit on him and whip him. And then, when his very own people, who should have known what the scripture said about him and his coming, when they were given the option of either having him released or having a murderer released, who do they choose? They choose the murderer. Here, the one who has given life and raised the dead and healed the sick is hated more than the one who has taken life. And then Jesus is made to carry his own cross to the hill where he is crucified. And if that is not shameful enough, then he is too weak to carry it at a certain point, and someone else has to be conscripted to do it. And then he is hoisted up for all to see, probably hanging naked on the cross with two criminals who have done wrong, dying with them the death of a criminal, even though he has done no wrong. Humiliation after humiliation after humiliation. The Son of God seems to keep moving lower and lower and lower. He is first made man, but then he suffers rejection. He suffers mocking and ridicule. He's considered worse than a murderer. He suffers the death of a criminal for all to see. He keeps getting moved lower and lower and lower. And he could have stopped all of this at any point. He could have called legions of angels to stop all of those who were ridiculing him and mocking him and rejecting him. He could have come down off the cross, but he didn't. He is putting himself in the lower and lower place, even below a murderer, so that he might die to save us. He who does not deserve to move down the rungs of the ladder, to move lower and lower in human estimation, to have all of this shame heaped upon him, he who does not deserve this because he has done nothing wrong, is doing all of this for us who deserve the lowest place, and in fact deserve no place at our Father's banquet table, who deserve no place in the kingdom of God, and in fact deserve to be cast out of the kingdom. He does all of that for us poor sinners, so that we might be moved up, so that the Heavenly Father might say to us, "Friend, move up higher," so that we might actually be called friends of God, that we might be reconciled with the Father, and we might move up to sit with our Lord, to be raised with Jesus Christ. So in today's gospel reading, when you hear Jesus give the instruction to take the lowest place, picture in your mind Jesus taking the lowest place, the place of humiliation, the place he, as the perfect Son of God, does not deserve. He through whom all things are created, who has come in love, who has done nothing wrong, who has healed and given life, he takes the low place, the place below the murderer. Imagine that at that table, if arranged in order of honor and rank, there Jesus takes the spot below Barabbas, who went free while Jesus was executed. This isn't fair. This is unjust. Jesus deserves the place of honor above all those people who rejected him and humiliated him. And he deserves the place of honor above us sinners. And we who deserve the lowest place, do we get upset sometimes when we don't get the honor and the justice we think we deserve? Do we get angry when we've been mocked and insulted? When people have mistreated us? We as sinners don't deserve honor. But he who did deserve honor took the shame and the mocking for us. He did all this on the cross to pay for our sins so that we might be exalted, so that the master of the feast might say to us, "Friend, move up higher." Indeed, we have been exalted as we were lowered into death in our baptism with Jesus. There we were buried with Jesus. There we died, so that we might rise from the waters and be raised up. And we return to this death. We acknowledge that we deserve the lowest place. We humble ourselves as we can humbly confess each week that we are poor, miserable sinners, as we did today. In that, we are saying that we indeed deserve the lowest place. And then God invites us to move up higher and join the Lamb of God slain for us at this great feast. As we come into the presence of God, where we feast here today on the Lamb of God in the body and blood of Jesus, we set ourselves down and say, "We are poor, miserable sinners." And the Lord invites us to come to this feast and says, "Friend, move up higher here to receive forgiveness, life, and salvation. Here heaven meets earth. Here we come into the holy places by the blood of the Lamb. Here we kneel at the table in humble reverence to receive gifts that we do not deserve, to be set in a place that we do not deserve to set, to receive the Son of God into our mouths in his body and blood, an honor and a privilege that we do not deserve. We receive the one who went into death for us sinners to raise us up and to receive his life. He was humiliated by taking on our flesh and bearing all our sin, so that we might be given his flesh to eat, so that we might be exalted. So, friend, move up higher. Move up here to a place of honor and come receive the body and blood of our Lord. And not only now are we raised up in the midst of suffering and sin and difficulty each and every week, but we know that we who are in Christ are also looking forward to our final exaltation. In a way, our Lord will say to us, "Friend, move up higher." We are looking forward to the day that the things come true that we sang about in our hymn right before the sermon, when we said, "Stretch out your mighty hand, my deathly slumber breaking. Then let me hear your voice. Redeem this earthly frame and bid me to rejoice with those who love your name." We are waiting for the day that we do hear the voice of Jesus, when our Lord does say and call us to rise, when we are moved up higher to rejoice with all those who have already died in Christ at the wedding feast of the Lamb. We get a foretaste of that as heaven meets earth here today. But then we will see in all its fullness, as we stand with all the saints, all of your loved ones who have died in Christ, who are clothed in white now, as you stand with them around the throne of the Lamb, as you are there at the wedding feast, as you are brought up higher, and you are friends of God, you will see that reality in all its fullness, that we who have been reconciled to God by the death of his Son now get to stand with Jesus forever. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.